Good morning. As you can see my title for today's sermon, Turn God's Grace to Your Spouse. I think you can imagine today's message is about marriage relationship. So before I start today's message, can I ask those who are in this room right now, how many of you are husbands? Quite a bit. Okay, good. Now, not in this quarter. Okay, for those husbands, listen up for the next message. Okay? And you have there's a test for you. So a marriage counselor was speaking to a group of couples about family relationship. He said, you have a father. He becomes a father-in-law. And you have a mother. She becomes a mother-in-law. You have a son. He becomes a son-in-law. You have a daughter. She becomes a daughter-in-law. What does your wife become? You got 3 seconds. What does your wife become? A boss. Who said that? No, I'm asking husband to answer that question. the right answer is, your wife is the law. I know. I'm speaking to the husband. Thank you. My wife, Sutin, and I will be celebrating our 20th anniversary in December this year. Oh, thank you. We have a dream. Our dream is on the 30th anniversary, we would like to do a re-vow ceremony at church, because when I got married, as you may know, I wasn't a believer yet. So she always dreamed to have a wedding ceremony in the church. So my promise to her is we're going to do a re-vow ceremony at church. And we already have a pastor that will be doing that. And in fact, if you think that you are due for a re-vow, you can join us. Now, besides that dream, we also have, we want after that, on the 30th year, we would like to have to do a Alaska cruise with the two other families. That would be my daughter and my son's family. But they are all singles right now. So my urge to them, my encouragement to them is to get married in the next 2 years. So we can all go together. Yeah, that's our dream. That's the dream that my wife and I kind of share. And in fact, last night we talked to our son, just came back from California. And so I said, well, son, do you remember we talked about this? Yeah. It's not in your control. But I told them, it's our dream. I told my daughter the same way. And she answered the same way. That is not in your control. Yes. If we have a dream, it would be wonderful. But the reality is often not so sweet, right? We have conflicts. And sometimes we hurt each other in our everyday life at home, right? So consider the following few questions. You can turn to the next page. Sorry. So let me read today's passage. Today's passage is from Colossians 3, chapter 3, 12 to 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you and I, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive it as the Lord forgive you. So we often use this passage as an encouragement to the brothers and sisters at church. That's right, we use this passage. that's forgive and that's bear each other. But if you read the passage closely, just a few passages down below this passage, Paul was talking about the wife shall submit to her husband, and the husband shall love her the husband shall love her wife, right? So actually they are very connected. But somehow when we preach on the marriage relationship, we only preach on the next few verses. We ask the wife to submit to the husband, and husband to love their wives. And we always get the protest from the ladies. Why should I? How should I? If you know what kind of person my husband is, you won't say that to me. So, that's why I like to move a few passages above. Let's talk about this. Because they are related. Because there's a context relationship between this passage and Paul's encouragement, advice to the husband and wife. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. So let's move on to the next page. Next page, please. Oh, that picture, those pictures are my dreams. Okay, move on. Next page, please. Consider the following questions, right? Do you become frustrated over the little things your spouse did to you? Yes or no? Does your spouse have certain behaviors that irritate you, that you just cannot bear with? Yes or no? Are you tired of trying to change your spouse and helpless? Does your spouse accuse you for nagging and nitpicking? Do you find yourself regularly losing patience and getting grumpy with your spouse? Sometimes getting angry with your spouse. Do you assume the worst about your spouse every time you got upset? Every time you become upset with your spouse. The next one. Are you overly critical of your spouse? You always criticize him or her on everything they do. What is the one thing that your wife or your husband that upsets you the most? Do you have that one thing in your head? Keep that in your head for now. Don't share it with your husband or wife. Okay, stop doing that. I remember the day before my college freshman year, my dad asked me to come to him. I said, he said to me, you have worked so hard for your college, and you should work as harder, even harder, to pursue your professional skill set and your career. I said, Dad, yes, I know. I will do that. And then he moved on. He moved on to say, well, now that you have to focus on your learning, your education, your curriculum, your homework, your papers so much, I advise you not to date anybody during your college. I said, yep, Dad, I know. I will not do that. I obey my parents very well, as you can see. So years later, I came to U.S. to pursue my grad school at ASU for my master's degree. Right before the graduation, my dad called me. You know, that time, almost, 30 years ago, the international call was very expensive. Usually I call him from here. And this time he called me. He called me and said, well, son, you'll be getting your master's degree. I congratulate you. Well, thank you, Dad. But now, since you're going to get your master's degree, you should think about getting married too. You know, again, I obey my dad. So I latch on a girl in the same apartment nearby. And then I made my mind. She will be my wife. And the rest of the history. As you know, right? I only have so far one wife. I don't know about you. How'd you get married? You know, you probably won't like me. I know that I'm a very unique case because I submit to my dad and obeyed his teaching since I was little. Years later, I've been thinking about, until today, what is marriage? Next page, please. What is marriage? If you are married and you have children, and the children ask you, Dad or Mom, what is marriage? Why do I need to get married? Oh, that's a different question. What is marriage? What is marriage about? Ephesians chapter 5, 31 and 32 says, next page, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Wow. I know that this is not a common sense to many of us, especially not believers. Our marriage is the doing and display of God. It's the doing and display of God. The glory of God. Second, marriage is firmly based on the grace of God. Our marriage is not about because I love somebody, I want to get married. It is purely, firmly based on the grace of God. And Christ has taken the church to be his bride by grace alone. You know, we are all created in the image of God. Bible says so. Therefore, our marriage, the combination between a man and a woman, God's creation, the perfect creation, was supposed to be the display, the glory of God. But when we review our current marriage, is our marriage the display of glory of God or falling short of the glory of God? I think that's a question for every one of us to think about. In Colossians 3:12, God, it says, we are all God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. God, the maker of the universe, chose you, chose every one of us, and set us apart from the world. And he loves us. This is the foundation of our life. It is also the foundation of our marriage. So, the foundation of marriage is purely based on the grace of God. It is also a display of the glory of God and also a display of the cross. So you ask a question. You may ask a question. Why is our marriage related to the cross? I think we all know that. The meaning of a cross is defined in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God shows his love for us in that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. That's the meaning. That's the purpose of a cross. And if you look at the cross, there's a horizontal line, there's a vertical line, there's a horizontal line. The vertical line means God's grace come upon us. God's grace comes upon us. And our response to that grace is to love God. The horizontal line represents we have to love, not just love people, but also we have to love our neighbors, right? Love our enemies. Have you thought about sometimes your husband or your wife is your enemy? What should you do with her or with him? You should love them. So I always like to use a symbol or maybe a parable that's easier for you to remember the horizontal line, right? There's always a right arm and left arm. In order to embrace somebody, In order to show your love, you have to love, hug somebody. Right? You have to hug your friend. This morning I came in, a few of you, you know, shook hands with me and hugged me. That's love. In order to hug somebody, you will not hug somebody you hate, right? Would you? Probably not. You will keep a distance from him or her. But in order to embrace somebody, in order to hug somebody, you have to forgive somebody, right? Or you may have to ask for forgiveness. I think that's those two things represents the horizontal relationship. You have to forgive somebody, you have to ask for forgiveness so that you can help, make your arms around somebody, and you can do the same to your wife or to your husband. It is in our Chinese tradition, we look at our children as our closest, our most favored, the most loved relatives, right? So here's a question for me, for all of us. Who is our flesh and blood in our family? Who is the flesh and the blood in our family? Is your parent, children, or your spouse? I know that when I ask a question to the tradition Chinese people, they always say children, because they always use their palm, their hand, to represent their kids. They always describe their daughter, just like my daughter, as a jewel on your palm. You always hold it with very careful, with a gentleness, with love. But Bible says, in Genesis 2:23, when Adam saw Eve the first time, and he said to her, "You are now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh." So I will say that your wife and or your husband is the closest relationship in your life. Then you may ask, how about children? Yes, children too. The children are the heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from God. Okay? So maybe we have to first of all, we have to adjust our perspective of who we value the most. Today, if you are husband and wife, you are married, it's your spouse that you should value the most. Next page. So Paul says in the Colossians 3:13, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So Paul urges us to turn God's grace to our spouse. The bone of your bones and the flesh of your flesh, the closest relationship on earth to you, to us. So here we know that not only does God's grace represent His love, but also include the forbearing, which is to bear with your husband or wife, and forgive him or her. Forbearing and forgiving. The love of God needs to be transformed. Okay. We often talk about we should love our wife or husband, but this love also needs to be transformed into our forbearance and forgiveness to our spouse. It is not easy. Let's talk about it. First of all, let's look at the forbearing. Next page, please. Yeah. How? I often get a question when I counsel the family, the husband and wife. They always say, "Pastor, it's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. How can I bear with my wife or husband after what they have done to me?" Let's look at 3 points, maybe able to help us. First one, next page. God is patient with our sins. So here we talk about bear with or forbear. The word is literally endure, enduring each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, it says, love. What does love mean? Love means bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. Love never ends. So here, bear all things. You have to bear everything that he or she does to you. Believe her. Trust her. Trust him. Hope that everything he says or she says in the good way. And endures all things. In the 1 Timothy chapter 1, 16, it says, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, God Jesus Christ might display his patience, his perfect patience, as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. So God has bared with us. Jesus Christ bared with us with his perfect patience. So we have the first thing is from our heart. We have to trust that. We have to believe that Jesus has done what he has done for us. He is patient with us. Okay, that's the first thing that I think that's easy to do. We just need to say, I trust in God. I just trust my marriage relationship to God. That Jesus Christ will do his amazing things to us. Great. That's from your heart. First. Okay, the next, we have to deal with our eyes. Move on to the next page. In the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, 41-42. Brother, let me take the speck out of your eyes. When you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay. We often use this passage to encourage, to advise the brotherhood, the relationship of brothers and sisters in the church, right? But I think this is probably also very applicable, very helpful for our marriage relationship. Think about the most recent event that you got so upset with your spouse. Maybe you challenged her or challenged him, say, how could you do this to me? But he or she may say, I didn't mean it. Why are you become so upset? Why do you become so upset? I don't get it. Have you seen that? Have you done that? Why? Because we have a preconceived notion of our spouse, right? We have a preconceived notion against her or against him. So we easily tune our channels to the unfavored areas against our spouse. Of course, we didn't realize that. We always think that that's a favor to me because that's easy for me to do. We didn't realize we have a big plank in our eyes against our spouse. And then think about the questions that we kind of went through in the beginning. If you nod your head on any of those questions, think about those. They may be your plank in your eyes right now, that you have to be aware of those. So the first thing is be aware of the plank in your eyes. And secondly, try to remove it. Remove it. Okay? So we deal with our eyes first. We start with our heart that believing in Jesus Christ, that he has the perfect patience on us. Secondly, we remove the plank in our eyes with a positive attitude to look at our spouse.
Then we have to be aware of all these preconceived notions, the negative emotions against our spouse, so that we don't get upset so easily. Third, let's move on to the next one. We have to deal with our ears and our tongue. In the book of James, chapter 1, 19 to 20, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Okay, here, quick to hear. We have to be very careful and thoughtful listening. I don't know how many times, this is probably the biggest complaint my wife has against me. She will always say, Michael, you don't listen to me. Why couldn't you wait until I finish my sentence? You always cut off my sentence. You always jump into my conversation. I didn't even have a chance to finish what I said, and you already made a conclusion. Yes, I realize that. So she always used this passage again. Advise me. Quick to listen. I'm going to say something to you. Okay, remember? Quick to listen. Yes, lady, I will do that. Slow to speak. Same thing, right? If you're quick to listen, you are slow to speak. Here, the slow speak means you listen. You digest. You think through before you throw out the words. And sometimes, many times, we make premature conclusions what others, especially your wife or husband, trying to tell you. The last one, slow to anger. Although Bible says slow to anger, I think the best thing to do is what? Not to anger. Not to become angry. Okay, because the anger does not produce the righteousness of God. I don't know if you have experienced this. No. There are times I got angry, I got upset with my wife. For some reason, I just couldn't help. That was years ago, and I still remember those things. I shouted at her. She was scared, and she looked at me. Why are you so angry? Why are you so making such a loud voice? What have I done to you that worth of your anger? Then suddenly I realized I shouldn't do that. Yeah, you're right. She's right. There's nothing that upsets me so much. My upset to her, it's because of the stress from work. Maybe because of the fatigue, maybe other reasons. But for some reason, I just dumped on her. And that hurts. That hurts me more than, that hurts her, it also hurts me, because I felt so regretful. I shouldn't have done that. And of course, I tried to make it up. I tried to apologize. I tried to do everything. But still, that scar will never heal. Do you agree? Once you've done something to the loved one, the most loved one, that scar, you may be able to close the gap. The scar will always be there. Okay? Then let's talk about it later. So, and it takes a lot of forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness. Next page, please. To heal that scar. You may be able to heal it, but there's always a mark there. Forgiven or forgiveness is the one thing that you must do to preserve your marriage. We all know that in order to maintain a long-lasting relationship, whether it's with your
relatives, your friends, your co-workers. Forgiveness is probably the key to get there. You can have a fun time, have a lot of good time with your friends, with your co-workers, but there will be time you offend them or you are offended by them. And the easiest thing for us to do is walk away, right? Walk away. But if you want to maintain a long-lasting relationship, forgiveness is the one thing that we have to do, especially with our spouse. So marriage needs forgiveness in order to flourish. So you ask the question, how can I forgive my spouse? The best I can do is that I bear with her or bear with him. You ask me to forgive? No way. Next page. First thing, let's start with the heart again. Christ has forgiven us. Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So, start with the heart again, knowing that Jesus Christ is the solution, is the only hope that can mitigate, that can heal the wounds between you and your spouse. Years ago, when my work was very stressful, and I spent a lot of time serving at the church, and my kids were in the teenage, as you know, right? It was a perfect storm for me. There are a few times I got very upset with my wife the night before, the day before. And the next day morning, I got up and I drove car to work. Usually it takes about 30 minutes for me from my home to work. Because of the upset, I had a very resentful mood. And when I was in that resentful mood, I started becoming like a criminal attorney. You know what a criminal attorney do? You know, they do to the people. They start digging out all the cases, right? And that's exactly what I do. I start thinking about all the things that my wife has offended me or upset me. And I try to justify every case that I'm always right, she's always wrong. Today I look back. That sin, that mindset, the sins rolling through my head, it's just like in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment. Remember? Right? When the Lord sits on the white throne, He opens up the book life. Right? And everything was displayed in front of you. And I always picture myself be the righteous judge on the throne. It was horrible, right? Very bad. Very, very bad. A couple of years ago, my wife and I, we have been doing the marriage counseling for almost 10 years. So a couple of years ago, we are taking a case. It's a church, you know, it's a couple from our church, previous church. The case was like this. You know, they argued each other quite a bit. And one day, the husband got so upset, and without thinking, clearly, he said to the wife, "I have never loved you." Does that hurt? It hurts, right? So the wife responded, "No, I realize you never loved me. Why are you marrying me? Shall we divorce?" And husband
He was in a very bad mood. Say, oh, you want divorce? Let's do it. Of course, half an hour later, 2 hours later, both of them felt very regretful what they said to each other. But they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't want to apologize to one another. They didn't have the courage to say sorry. And they really didn't know what to do with it. So they kept that mind, they kept that idea that divorce is the last resort for their relationship for a while. Every time they got into the argument, that subject always brought up, well, last time you said if we want a divorce, it would be okay. Maybe we should do it tomorrow. So they came to us. It's so bad. It was almost too late. It was almost too late. Because they were like they piled all the trash, all the garbage in their head, in their mind, in their mood. It's so hard to be logical, rational, rationally or logically explain or coach them how to rebuild the relationship. So next page. So I mentioned earlier, I was driving the car. I was very resentful, right? I almost thought about the worst case. But that moment, I remind myself, no, this is the wrong way. I'm in the spiral trap. So I immediately rebuke Satan for his cheating, for his deceiving. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I know that in my heart, in my mind, that I need to be thankful. I need to thank my wife. It took me a while to really change my mindset 180 degrees. I remember the first time. It was so hard. And you can see that your flesh doesn't want to do it, but your head telling you, the Holy Spirit tells you that you shall do it. You must do it now. So I can really understand what Paul has experienced in the book of Romans chapter 7. My flesh doesn't want to do it. But my Holy Spirit asked me, I must do it. So I did it. So I submit to the Holy Spirit. I pray to God with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. I thank my wife, she's a beautiful wife that God has given to me. I pray to God that she made a fresh bread this morning for my breakfast. I thank God that she pack my lunchbox and all the things. I went on for about 15 minutes. And after that, I felt so relieved. Right? Do you feel that? Can you feel that? I feel so relieved. By that time, I usually get to the office, get to the communist parking lot. I will sit in the car for a few more minutes. And sometimes I laugh quite a bit because I laugh on my own stupidity. Right? I got so many things to be thankful. But just 10 minutes ago, I had so many evil thoughts against my wife. So, pray with a thanksgiving. Pray with a thanksgiving. In the Philippians chapter 4, just my favorite passage, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, alright, it says so well, in every situation, by prayer and petition with a thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's all we have to do. When we got into argument, fighting with our spouse, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God will transcend all the understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I feel so relieved after that. I want spend the day work at the office effectively, productively, and then went home. Usually it was me say sorry to my wife as soon as I walk in. Next. So, if you are in a similar situation or you had similar experiences, the first thing we need to do is I ask God to change me first. Change me. Okay. Many times when I pray with a husband or wife who came to us because of their relationship, I say, well, let's pray to God. Let's pray to God that change our heart. May the Holy Spirit, dwell in us again, filling us, change our heart. I always hear the husband and wife pray, Lord, change him. He is a sinner. Lord, change him or change her. I said, no, change yourself. No, why? He is the one that made me angry, right? No. Ask God, change me first. Ask God, change me first. So, at the end, I would like to encourage every one of us, the same thing that I encourage the Chinese congregation. Our marriage relationship is the foundation for the church. It's the foundation for the family of God, for the house of the foundation of the house of God. It is the foundation of our unity. Unite together in the one body of Christ. If our relationship with our husband and wife cannot connect together, cannot unite together in the body of Christ, as a church, we have a lot of gaps. We have a lot of the areas that Satan can attack. So I urge the congregation, one, from our heart, we must believe that the Christ is the solution. The Christ is the hope for our marriage. Second, we have to deal with our eyes. Take the plank out of our eyes first, our own eyes. Third, quick to listen, but slow to anger. And actually, no anger at all. Pray with thanksgiving. Start with our heart. Pray with thanksgiving and bless our spouse in every situation. Ask God, change ourselves first. Let's bow our head. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. Lord, it is your calling that we come together. It is your calling that we have this holy marriage. Lord, we ask you, may your Holy Spirit come upon every one of us so that we can experience your presence. We can experience your love. We can repent our sins in you so that we can unite with our spouse to make the one body of the Christ be the testimony of the world. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.